This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
It is 7:46. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 Chai FM. Joining us this morning for the Israel Report is Professor Eitan Gilboa. He's from the Center for International Communications. A very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you, Howard. Good morning.
Good morning. So let's talk about what is happening with these discussions around Egypt, Qatar, for a ceasefire. Is this something real? What are we hearing?
Well, we don't know yet, but this is an American proposal. Apparently, the United States, the Trump administration, is very much interested in releasing Israelis who are also American citizens. So there is now a new proposal on the table for the releasing of Idan Alexander, who is an American citizen, and perhaps other some bodies, but we don't know yet. And Israel is now applying pressure, military pressure on Hamas, and as you may know, there have been now it's the fourth day of demonstrations against Hamas in the Gaza Strip, which is quite a new thing.
So these are happening simultaneously. We've got protests happening in Gaza against Hamas. There's an American proposal. Egypt is managing, it would seem, is involved with that, going to Qatar. Are all of these things linked?
Yes, everything is linked in the Middle East, sometimes for good, sometimes for bad. And yes, it seems that Egypt and Qatar are interested in stopping the Israeli military activities as well as the demonstrations against Hamas in Gaza. So the only way to do it is to negotiate and reach an agreement to release the hostages. It seems now, I think, what is very important this week is those demonstrations in Gaza. Gazans should have realized long time ago that the main problem, their main problem, is not Israel, but Hamas. Hamas has been ruling Gaza for almost 20 years, doing nothing except building military infrastructure to fight Israel. They couldn't care less about the people there, and the people are tired of Hamas and want Hamas leadership to go out to stop the war and release hostages. And I've listened yesterday to statements made by the demonstrators, as well as they have posters, and on the posters they write all kinds of things, and local family heads and heads of clans. So it's mostly a local organization. Hamas is trying to say that Israel is doing it, and this is not the case. Those leaders are now marching every day, protesting, demonstrating, and they demand, they say they want to leave. That's a simple thing. They want to leave, not to die. And Hamas is responsible for the enormous casualties and destruction in Gaza. So the demonstrators are saying now, number one, get out. We don't want you anymore. Which is now the position of the United States, Israel, many of the Arab countries, who understand that there is no future for Gaza with Hamas. Hamas has to go out. Second, release hostages. Third, reach an agreement on an extended ceasefire. This is what they are demanding. It's interesting to note that Hamas contrary to what they have been doing in similar situations in the past. They do not use force. They do not attempt to stop the demonstration. I think they're afraid that if they were to use force, then demonstrations are going to intensify and put more pressure on them, and they are weak. And the cause is it could not be sustained. Their cause could not be sustained. They understand that they have to go. And they are afraid of more demonstrations in more places. It's also interesting to note that those demonstrations are occurring in places, in neighborhoods, which have been considered the most supportive of Hamas, like Jabalia, like Sojaia. Those are places where Hamas has enjoyed most support during the 20 years of its government of Gaza, and much of the demonstrations come out from those places, which says something about the ability of Hamas to rule Gaza.
Last night, I managed a panel with some survivors of the Nova Festival of Kfar Aza, and I asked them the question if there can be peace with Gaza, with Gazans. And two of the participants spoke about the third wave and the fourth wave that they encountered coming from Gaza, which were civilians. So the first wave apparently was a very elite unit. Then the second one was sort of regular Hamas. And then it moved on to civilians. They were very, very skeptical, not unreasonably. Their stories are horrific. But they were skeptical about this. How much is it going to take to convince Israelis that this is genuine and legitimate?
It would take at least 15 to 20 years before we can even begin to speak about peace, simply because there is an urgent need to remove radicalism and extremism from Gaza, and based on denazification, that's the whole, that's the idea. We have much Nazi type attitudes in Gaza. The way they are thinking about Israel, they wish to eliminate Israel, to kill all the people of Israel. So this would require much time to denazification of Gaza itself. And I assume that this would take at least a decade, even more. We have to begin with education. It's unbelievable what kind of education those young people received in Gaza in the last 20-25 years. Oddly enough, under UNRWA supervision. UNRWA, United Nations. You can't find anything about peace, about conflict resolution, about wishing to live in peace with Israeli neighbors. You find exactly the opposite, the preaching for constant conflict, violence, elimination of Israel in books. So young people from the age of five on, this is how they are brainwashed. And with this kind of attitude, very difficult to think about peaceful resolutions. I think that it will take time for the Palestinians to prove that they want really to live in peace with Israel. And this it's like a probation area, probation time for them to prove that they're ready to live in peace. This will take at least, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, something like that.
And especially people that have been directly impacted along the Gaza border. Let's just change subjects a bit and talk about what is happening within Israel itself in terms of the protests and in terms of some of the internal discord. How bad is this?
It is bad, because it seems that the government has forgotten the lessons of October 6th. We are going backward to October 6th, without the government does not understand that domestic cohesion is vital for fighting. Still, we have Hamas. We still have the Houthis. The Houthis are firing at Israel almost every day, and Iran is still Iran's nuclear program has to be addressed. So the government has forgotten everything about it. So yesterday, they passed a law changing the committee that that selects judges, especially judges for the Supreme Court. This is what we call the reform. This is the judicial reform, which was controversial before the war. The war stopped some of it, but the government shows an appetite to resume the judicial revolution. This is bad, and the opposition has left the Knesset, the parliament. So only the coalition voted for it. And tens of thousands of people are demonstrating. So legal issues is one thing. The prime minister has fired the head of the Shin Bet, probably unjustified. Also they want to fire the attorney general. This happened, I think, last. They have started the process leading to the removal of the attorney general. So any one of those issues is controversial, but the combination of them in just 1 week is terrible. And I think this will continue for some time until the government realizes that what it is doing is totally wrong and has to change.
So where does this go? Because the government doesn't seem to be hearing the protesters, and the protesters don't seem to recognize any legitimacy in government's concerns. How does this move in a reasonable direction?
Yes, it's not really the government. It's the prime minister, it's Netanyahu. Mm, mm. He's controlling everything. And his ministers are so weak that they support anything he says. There's not really, you know, I look at government decision making in the last week and resolutions by the government as well as by the Knesset. You know, it's unanimously. And so you don't have even one single minister voicing any reservations. Any reservations, let alone voting. And this is also terrible. It's unheard of that one person is that heavily controls much of what the government does. The parliament is not doing its job. It does not supervise what the government is doing. This is the prime role of parliaments to supervise government decision-making and government resolutions and legislation, and they don't do the job.
So just I know we're out of time, but a question from one of our listeners who happens to be a judge says the Israeli judiciary has more power almost than any other in the world. Aren't they too powerful?
So, yes, I think there should be some changes and reform. But those things that the government has suggested are too extreme. So you go to the other side of the pendulum. You have to reach some kind of a middle way. And secondly, Israel is not like any other country. We don't have a constitution. And too much politicization of the judiciary is not good. And I don't trust many of the politicians that serve today, both in the government and in the parliament. And therefore, this is the problem. The Israeli case is unique and cannot be compared to other places. So when somebody says that judiciary in Israel has power more than any country in the world, my answer is that Israel is not like any other country in the world.
Interesting. That is where we do need to leave it. Very, very good discussion. And thank you for that. Wishing you a fantastic weekend and a Shabbat Shalom. That is Professor Eitan Gilboa from the Center for International Communications.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.